I would be remiss if I didn't draw attention quickly to the fact that the Lord of the universe began his earthly life as a refugee. This is something we should take note of. But we're not going to talk about that today. Today we're going to focus on the Magi. And I offer this thought to you for the new year. You know, we will be handing out star words to guide those of us that want to keep it simple, have a single word or phrase to latch on to this year. And many of you have already made your New Year's resolutions. Some of us have broken two of them already. I offer this thought for our church for the new year. I wonder. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our guide, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder. That phrase is one of the chief pedagogical tools that Haley and I use at home with our own children, and we use it with your children too here at the church. Many churches do. I wonder. There's not much to it. Short phrase, simple idea. But the idea is that in actively wondering and letting that curiosity move us, profound, formative things happen. We live richer lives. We might discover something new about ourselves. And we can even draw in closer to God. I wonder. Haley may be saying it with some of your children right at this very moment, encouraging them to listen to the ancient stories of our faith and daring them to wonder about them. And when we wonder with the kids, like we do in Bridges to Worship, we try to steer the conversation toward the spiritual and or the empathetic toward biblical characters. What were they going through at this time or that? But anything goes. And so when I've done it with the kids, wondering with the kids during Bridges, I've gotten everything from, I wonder what Jesus' laugh sounded like, to, I wonder if angels' moms have to clip their toenails. I wonder. The Epiphany story, the tale of the Magi from the East traveling from afar to visit the child Jesus, is maybe the most perfect story of all to cultivate that train of thought. For one thing, there are so many unknowns surrounding the story itself. We know that Magi most directly translates to astrologer. They may have been Zoroastrian priests as well, but something along those lines. This chapter tells us that these foreign astrologers or priests visited Jesus probably sometime between his birth and his second birthday, but not much more than that. So there are many things left to wonder about. I wonder exactly where these people came from. The text never says. It just says east. I wonder how many Magi there were, because the text doesn't tell us that either. And I wonder their names. Could have been names like Balthazar, Gaspar, and Melchior. There's a very famous poem that names them that. Could have been Larry, Curly, and Moe. Could have been 15 names we've never heard of, because we also don't know exactly how many there were. This year I was more interested than usual about the gifts. I was wondering what frankincense and myrrh were actually like. I've talked about them my whole life, and I really haven't done the research. I have some very, very limited experience with gold, very limited, but even less with frankincense and myrrh. And I've known that they've come from plant-based substances that are used, you know, for perfumes and ointments, and still are, but I wanted to know more, so I looked it up. And you already know this, but to prove that I too can read big words. Frankincense is the dried sap of trees in the Boswellia genus, particularly Boswellia sacra. And these trees grow in Oman, Yemen, and the Horn of Africa, including Somalia and Ethiopia. And when dried, the sap is burned as incense and thought to have several medicinal properties. And myrrh, likewise, a sap-like substance or resin that comes out of cuts in the bark of trees that are members of the Camphora species. Do not be confused with Camphora mucil, a related species. It is not the source of myrrh. And this is the word of Life Science, December edition 2012. And gold, as you know, comes from outer space. I suppose it all does when you think about it. But gold is the byproduct of supernovas, forged at temperatures and pressures we can't really fathom, and then hurled through the cosmos until crash landing into our planet, sinking into the ground because of gravity, until some old prospector in California discovers it in 1849, or we give it to baby Jesus. I had lots of other questions too as I encountered this passage once again, but more than evoking questions specific to the Magi, I have come to believe that this text, similar to our method with children here at the church, is trying to nudge us towards something. It's trying to nudge us toward a life filled with more wondering and openness, more imagination and exploration. Consider these facts, that all the Gospels, as with all literature, they come out of certain contexts, and they're written to certain contexts. Matthew's gospel is written to a first century Jewish context about the Jewish Messiah, to a people that had certain expectations. But his version of the story about the Messiah begins with these wandering outsiders. Before that, all you have is this very quick prologue sort of thing. You have Jesus' family tree. You have this quick little memo from an angel to his mother's husband, Joseph. And then the action really begins. And it's with these mystics from a distant land who are the first people to meet God's chosen one, compelled to where he is by not much more, I think, than raw, simple curiosity. I mean, how curious of a person do you have to be to do what they've done? Leave what is likely a life of luxury. You know, judging by the odds that these Magi were probably both from a respected group of people in their society and wealthy as all get up because they're throwing treasure chests to a toddler. How curious do you have to be to leave that level of comfort, your home, and the land of your people for who knows how long because of some hunch based on some old cryptic sacred text from another religion in some other region, guided by a blip in the sky, braving the dangers of the ancient roads towards who knows where, to find honestly God knows what. First people Matthew mentions to ever meet Jesus. And no doubt someone else in the neighborhood had already bumped into Jesus, Mary, and Joseph before the Magi wander into town. But the fact that, as far as the writing goes, it wasn't Mary's cousin Elizabeth or some Jewish priest who was perhaps already looking for the Messiah, and it wasn't Biff next door, or shepherds for that matter, but a group of perfect strangers with no prescribed reason to seek him out. And yet, here they are. Here they are. The fact that it's their quest that kicks off Matthew's account of the Son of God, that's a statement. That means something. That is a deep, theological statement about how we too might encounter the divine. Often in these unexpected places where we may never end up if we aren't willing to wander a little bit and wonder a lot. And then the very last words of this gospel, what we call the Great Commission, the great charge to the church, those aren't any different. Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go out and go everywhere. And remember that I'm with you. Put on your explorer hats, kiddos. That's Matthew's gospel. So here's the Sunday morning agenda for the next 4 months or so. From now until all the way through Easter, we will be reading through the Gospel of Matthew. And what we will quickly see is that Matthew has a number of different points to make about following Jesus and pursuing God. But it's really worth paying attention to how from birth to death to resurrection, the way Matthew frames the life of Christ is between these bookends. A commandment to get ready for adventure at the end. And then this story of the Magi, who with their sense of wonder and a willingness to wander out of their comfort zones, enter into the thick of what I believe to easily be the most significant moment in history, the ramifications of which permeate throughout the universe. It is their curiosity that leads them to Bethlehem and affords them the chance to come face to face with the Son of God and then offer him a bunch of dried tree sap and space metal. That's how this book begins. And it's enough to make me wonder about all the wonderful things we right here at Fair Oaks might see and learn and experience this year if we are also willing to wander and to wonder. In the name of God, the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.